Jason is here. Jason Ottley, one of the smartest health and wellness experts on this side of heaven and beyond. Jason is a health and wellness expert, founder of Live, Inspire, Transform. Is it .org?
.com.
.com. I train with Jason. It's amazing. I mentioned that before. It is absolutely amazing. So I'm happy that he's able to get in here. Really busy man. But yeah, he made the time to come in to answer some of my questions. Jason, good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, man. Thank you for coming. Today is I don't know how many years, but
2001, I believe. Was it?
How many years when?
18, yeah.
18 years since 9/11?
Yes.
That's amazing. Where were you? Were you in this country or in Canada?
That was my last year before. I was in Montreal, but I was moving to Atlanta in a couple of months. And I got the call from, I think, one of my friends and said, turn on the news. And just, yeah, then from there, it was just amazing. Like,
so one of your friends in Canada or here?
It might have been in New York. I have a lot of family in New York. And I lived in New York for a little while, too. I think one of my family members from New York kind of, like, woke me up that morning and just kind of told me to turn on the news. That's all they said. I had no idea what I was about to see. But, yeah, I remember that like it was yesterday. And I can't believe it's already 18 years.
I know. That's amazing.
It's amazing. And
I could have gotten married and had two or three kids by now.
I know.
And so you still decided to come once that happened?
I'm not going to lie. I've never heard once that happened, I never thought that someone would take a plane and do that. It just like rocked my world for a long time. I never even thought that something was even possible. So even from Canada, I was still like shooken up about it for a while. I just never knew that was even possible. But, you know, I got over it. And yeah, I never changed my decision to come to this amazing country.
Amazing. So the last time you were here, we talked about something called a keto. Is that what it's called?
Keto diet. Oh, man.
Keto
that was a
diet.
Great subject and, that we talked about.
But you got a lot of positive and negative responses to that.
I loved all of it. I loved getting people talking. So that's all, you know, that's what it's about.
But why are people upset about it?
And it was amazing because
Some people
react before they think, you know, a lot of times, you know. And all I was saying that no matter how great a diet has worked for you or a friend, it's all about that person's profile. Does that person's profile fit that diet? Can they follow it?
Right.
I don't care how great it is, how the science backs it. None of that doesn't matter unless your profile fits what it asks you to do for the diet. And that's pretty much all I was saying. There's pros and cons to the keto. There's a lot of good things about it. But, you know, like I said, with any other diet, even if science backs it, it's really depending on that person's profile. And not just diet, but exercise programs. You know, like, I don't just train my clients with the one specific program. I gotta have to, like, get to know that person, know where their weakness is, how their struggles. And I like to bodybuild. I like to work out four times a week. But someone who's really busy and only can make it to the gym two times a week, we're not going to have the same program because they're not going to succeed on the kind of program that I am.
You know?
So it's all dependent on that person, and that's pretty much what I was saying about the keto.
And so what is, for those who don't know, what is a keto diet?
I mean, high fats, low carbs, and that's what your basis of your diet is, you know. And then that's it's restrictive within those, you know, contents. You're not eating too much outside of there, so you really have to do a lot of preparation into, like, following a keto diet. And the transitioning into a ketosis stage could come with the keto flu. You may get sick. It's a transitioning period. So those who want to start a keto diet, I know you heard a lot about it recently within the news. Do your research about it. Follow it up. Know what it takes to get to that stage. Know if it actually fits your profile, if it's something that you can sustain. Because if you only could do it for 1 or 2 weeks, you're not, you know, what's the real point of doing it? I think you should stick with something that you know that you could sustain on.
And they also require that you not eat for many hours, right?
Well, that's not true. No, it's really just about what you're eating, you know. But when you're eating, it's what you're eating that it's the biggest thing on that diet.
So you can eat whenever you want. Yeah. It's just what you eat.
It's what you're eating and, like, the what we call the macronutrients, like the fats, proteins, and carbs. You have to really pay attention to that. That's what.
So they want you to eat a lot of fat or not?
Yeah, high fat, but not like bad fat. Remember, like I think people when they hear fats, people who are not really in depth about nutrition, if you think fats is just bad, it's not a bad thing. It's just we all eat fats, carbohydrates, and protein pretty much throughout the day. Usually, and the average person doesn't intake a high amount of fats. We're really carb heavy in the United States and North America. We eat a lot of carbs, a lot of protein, and some fats. With the keto, you're eating a lot of fats. So it's, you know, not as
so
common.
Fat mean sugar and
no, really, like there's fatty fish like salmon, there's avocados, there's nuts. You're getting fats from those kind of sources. Fat can be in any kind of food, but they're high in the sources that I just named right there. And your diet is going to be mainly composed with foods that are high in fats.
And what is the purpose of putting on fat? I'm trying to get fat off.
I know it doesn't mean that you're going to put fat on. You're just going to be able to utilize like your. It's going to be help you to burn fat or. It really helps with brain function. Like, there's a lot of good benefits with the keto.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. And so I read some of the comments, and some people say, oh, my husband or my wife overcame cancer with keto and all that crap.
Like I said, one or two or three or four success stories doesn't mean it's going to work for everyone.
Right.
I don't care.
Right.
I don't want to be mean, but, like, it doesn't mean anything if you had success or if you failed on a keto. It, like, it's independent for each person. I have a lot of friends that are, you know, keto advocates. I have a lot of friends that are vegan advocates. I have a lot of friends that are paleo. The thing about diet, people get so religious about it. Like, it's an all or nothing kind of thing. And it just, it baffles me. Like, guys, have a broader sense of view. Like, understand people have different perspectives.
So when people get religious about it, about diets and all that, working out, and all, do they know they have become that way?
I don't think so. And to me, it's like, I don't know, just by nature, I always like to question everything and I want to know different methods to doing things. So I'm never all in on one thing because I know, like, it's like me and you saying, hey, what's the quickest way to go to the airport? And I'm hell bent on taking a 405 and shaming anyone that has another route to go to the airport.
Right.
It's the same principle. You know, there's many ways to get there.
And are carbs... Do carbs make you fatter than the fat?
It's not. It's really about how many. It's like there's not one macronutrient that's going to make you fatter. It may be the wrong type of carbs, of course, if you're eating too many of it. But at the end of the day, I know like people don't like to hear this, but it's really about how many calories you're taking in. To lose weight, you're going to have to create some kind of caloric deficit for yourself, meaning you're going to have to find a way to lose, like to burn more calories than you're taking in for that day to lose weight. And if you're gaining on weight and you're not able to lose weight or you're stuck in a place where you're not losing weight, then you haven't created that caloric deficit. And hopefully if you choose a diet and you exercise and you're active, you'll start creating a caloric deficit for you. People like to think about diet as the one way, but you have to create a caloric deficit for yourself to lose weight. There's no way around it.
It just sounds like so much work.
And when you break down to the scientific and stuff about it, we could talk about it all day. But in a nutshell, you know, be active and have a healthy relationship with food. That's really what it boils down to. I don't care how you do it, paleo, vegan, all that stuff. I'm all for it. I hope it works for you. And
what's paleo?
Paleo is really kind of like the flips, not the flip side, but high meat and more vegetables, less fat. It's not as high fat as the keto diet. It's really high in protein.
And vegan are those people who don't eat meat?
Yeah, vegan is no meat products.
Why would someone decide not to eat meat?
I mean, there's some.
Me
personally, I enjoy. Yeah, I enjoy meat.
The hog and the cow were made for us to eat.
I mean, so people share different perspective, and I respect that. And then there's studies that back it up that it, you know, it works. I personally would never do a vegan just because I have no issues with meat whatsoever.
You notice the vegan people always look hungry.
The one thing I never understood is vegan athletes. That's really impressive. Those vegan athletes out there, kudos. Because I feel like it's hard to sustain that. So kudos to you
guys. That's why they're losers. But the vegan person always look hungry and weak, and when they sit with you and you're eating your steak meal, they're looking over at you wishing for it.
I know a lot of happy vegans, so some people are just happy vegans, and kudos to them as well.
So this is a question from YouTube. KT asks, he said, ask question for Jason. Why is it that 60% of blacks and 2% of whites are lactose intolerant? What's with the huge disparity?
That I do not know. That's a great question. I got to check those numbers if it's true. 60%.
I wonder how you know it's 60%.
Yeah, I have to look that up. I can't comment on that one, but that's interesting. And I know a lot of people who are, so I'm not one of them, but it's a thing.
So lactose mean they can't drink milk?
Yeah, well, anything with, yeah, exactly. Primarily milk.
When I was growing up in Alabama, I had to milk the cow every morning before school.
Oh.
You ever milked a cow?
Never.
You have not lived until you milk a cow.
I'm down, though. I'll try that.
So I had to get up in the morning, go out to the barn, and go out to the field, bring the cow in, milk the cow, feed the cow hay, and put her back out before I went to school.
How long did that whole process take?
About an hour or two. Maybe less.
Okay.
And then, but I used to drink buckets of milk. Sweet milk and sour milk.
What's your relationship
buttermilk,
with milk
now? They call it buttermilk. I never had a problem with milk.
Now, do you have a problem?
Right. I can't drink it now at all.
I mean, that you change. We're not the same. Your digestive system changes, so it's not uncommon that you weren't at one point and you are now. It doesn't really mean that something's totally off.
And so Joel has a question for you.
Sure.
Okay, so Jesse explained stories sometimes about how when he was younger, he used to
younger.
When he was a teenager.
When he was younger, though I'm dying.
In order to eat the chicken or to eat the pig or whatever y'all ate back then, is that he would have to go kill it himself, wring the neck of the chicken or hit the pig over the head with an axe and watch the squirrel. Have you ever done that?
Myself?
Right.
The closest I've came to that was my parents are from the Caribbean, so when we go back, this is a while ago, we got a goat, and I saw a goat, and we saw the whole process of going to a farm, taking it back of the truck, killing it. I didn't do it. I just saw the whole process. But obviously, I mean, in this kind of world, I think it's kind of healthy to eat like that. If you're going to get your meat, get it from a local farm and see the whole process through. But in this day and age, how common is that? But when you go to other countries, especially smaller ones, it's a little bit more common. But
amazing.
Yeah.
So I miss those days.
You miss those. Bring it back.
That's right. Bring back the good old days. So Mike want to know, what are the common mistakes people make while training alone?
I think the biggest thing that sometimes it's not their fault is they'll have a program. Even let's say they find the perfect program online, they'll take it to the gym, but they won't have someone supervising them. So they'll do it with poor form, and I feel, and I not that I feel like I'm very sure that when you have poor form, it takes away from the progress of your program.
Yeah.
And it also opens you up for injuries, especially if you're going to start using heavier loads. So not having someone to overview, to make sure you're getting the best out of each rep, staying safe, and all the small stuff that you may not think about if you're not a fitness professional. I think that's the biggest thing.
So how long does a person need a trainer?
I always think use a trainer. It's good to have one, but don't solely rely on them. Gain knowledge from that trainer. A trainer should be educating their client so at one day they can be successful on their own.
Right.
They shouldn't I never train my client to be hey, I want to get you to a point where one day you don't need me. Sometimes they don't want to break that relationship and they always feel like they need me, but I want to feel like if we were to sever ties, you would be successful without me.
Right.
So that's kind of the relationship you should have when selecting a coach.
YouTube, Sion asks, do squats really help? Squats, the squat things, really help get rid of cellulite.
Cellulite? I wouldn't say directly, maybe a little bit, but cellulite is, I wouldn't say, like, hey, squat and you'll get rid of it. I don't feel comfortable saying that, no.
What are cellulite?
It's like the... It's on your skin, it's like a, it's, I hear that a lot from women. They want, that's one of their main reasons they don't like the way they look. If you decrease your body fat, however, that will help with reducing cellulite. It's just when you, like,
that's when a body is fat and then you lose weight, it looks like a highway running through your body.
That's more like stretch marks. No, cellulite is like, it's kind of hard to explain it. Like, people with higher percent body fat usually have a little bit of cellulite. And it's just a presentation on the skin surface. It looks like a certain way, and people don't like that. But if you reduce your percent body fat, then that will help with it. So squats, in some capacity, will definitely help you reduce body fat. So indirectly, it can help you.
So you can't get rid of that?
There's other procedures. Like, my wife was like in the medical device sales, and she worked with a product that helped get rid of cellulite. But that's like more invasive, you know. But I think just getting a healthy body fat, that'll help with that.
So what's the difference between pushing yourself versus hurting yourself or injuring yourself?
Definitely, you can push hard in the gym, but I think people also tend to think, like, if I go to the gym and I don't leave with a bucket of sweat leaving on my head, then I didn't have a good workout, you know? It doesn't necessarily have to be that way. Sweat or feeling really sore the next day isn't the best indicator that you had a great or effective workout. You know, you should feel confident in executing form and technique. That will always assure you that you had a good workout. And adding load to your exercise, like using weights, like how we do,
right?
That in a safe manner is a good way. Stop using sweat, or if you're like feeling totally trashed after a workout, like if you kicked your own butt, those are not the best signs that you had an effective workout, even though we feel like it. You know what I'm
saying? Yeah. So, let's see. So I want to know, what's more important, lose weight, working out, or diet?
Yeah, I mean, it's all, like I said, it's depending on that person's profile. You know, like, let's say someone is really keen to like eating healthy and that comes really naturally to them, but they hate going to the gym and they hate working out, then obviously for them that's the biggest step, you know. But for me, what I've seen in my career with most clients, they like working out, but it's a little bit harder to like change the way they eat.
Yeah.
You know, they'll follow a program to the T.
Yeah.
So it's really important for a coach to know how, like, you can know the science behind food and be an expert in paleo, whatever, but if you can't get the person in front of you to buy in what you're saying, then how good of a coach are you? So you have to know how to, like, get around certain behaviors with people. There's a lot of emotional ties to eating, you know? So you got to really, you know, walk them hand by hand to get over some of these, you know, eating behaviors that people have. So that's I think that's what a good coach is made out of.
This is from Periscope. Dank Daddy.
Okay.
Dank Daddy. Ask. Is Stevia?
Stevia. The artificial sweetener, or is it
stevia
sweetener?
Or stevia?
Stevia, I believe.
Stevia, a good sugar substitute.
I don't use stevia. You know, I prefer to use like a little bit of honey or agave, and just keep it natural. I've heard good things about stevia. I think it'd probably be better than like white sugar, but you know, do your research on it.
Is stevia a form of sugar?
It's a sweetener, yes.
And it's coming in little pink packs and some blue packs.
So. Yeah.
That stuff tastes like cancer.
I don't like the taste.
I don't drink
it
at all. When I have tried it.
You've seen it, right?
Yeah, it tastes like cancer.
I'm not a big fan, but I know it's a healthier option than some of the other things. I like also brown sugar as an option as well.
Okay. I got to ask you this because the time is up.
Yep.
There's a report out now that you know, that smoking that the kids are doing, the young people are doing.
Yeah, the vapes.
Vapes.
Yeah.
That can cause cancer or lung problems or stuff like that.
Yeah.
Do you believe that?
Yeah, of course. I know. And it's almost like an epidemic now, man. It's, I think in due time, like maybe 5-10 years out, the research is going to be undeniable. But like, you see these young kids, like you can't even catch them without it. Like, it's so popular now, and it's almost scary to see where it's going to go and what could end up. I was just reading an article on some of the neurological disorders that it could cause from vaping that they're linking towards it. So, and I know they kind of market towards like kids as well, like as far as like bubblegum flavors or different kind of flavors to make it more appealing.
Right.
But it's not a safer alternative to smoking. I think people think it's safer.
What, it's supposed to not go into your lungs or something?
No, I don't know. I don't believe that. You're still inhaling. I don't know. I don't believe
that. How do
that.
We know?
I'm not an expert, but like, I would not recommend that as a safer option or alternative to smoking.
So I'm being told that it goes into your lung, but it's just not smoke.
It's not smoke, but
it's vapor mixed with chemical.
Yeah, exactly. It's still chemicals and vapors going into your lungs. So it's not. If those that think it's a safer alternative to smoking, I would strongly disagree.
I don't know if it's true or not that it causes cancer, because I've noticed that these people with agendas, mm-hmm. whenever they want to destroy a company or destroy someone, they make up stuff and they put it out there like,
yeah.
emergency is happening. They did that when they wanted to get rid of cigarettes.
Yeah,
they went as far as saying that secondhand smoking would hurt you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they just blew it out of proportion because they wanted to destroy the cigarette industry. So, so this is coming up now, and I don't believe it. I don't know if it's true or not, but I don't know to believe it or not, because I know how vicious and evil these people can be.
Yeah, and I respect that. I just don't want like kids to think that it's a safe, oh, I could use nicotine in this way and not have any like negative effects on it. You know, I just think that it's such a new thing. It hasn't been out for that long, and the results and studies are not going to show for a little while. So just be cautious with it.
A lot of young people put a pot inside of it.
Yeah.
So they smoke pot inside of it.
It's
and
popular.
They suck it like nothing going on.
They do. It's like, it's crazy how popular it's become.
So Jason, tell those who don't know who you are, and we have first time listeners.
Yes.
And how a little of your background, yeah. and then your specials that you have going.
I've just been in the fitness industry for the last like 12 to 13 years. I got my associates and bachelor's all in exercise science. But, you know, the education part was one thing, but it's really the, you know, the one-on-ones that I've done with people. And
amazing too,
people.
Folks, I'm telling you.
So that's what, you know, I like to hang my hat on is actual like working in the field. Because education does help me understand what's going on.
Right.
But you learn a lot more from
hands-on.
I remember my first client that I got, I was like, okay, I got all this education, but I felt like I didn't know anything. Because I didn't know where to start or where to draw from the books. Like, it was just like I had to learn everything all over again, you know.
Right.
So. But 15 years in almost, and I'm really, my whole thing is just really help people, you know, reclaim a good health. Because of course we want to feel better, but it's all about your confidence, you know, how you feel about yourself.
Absolutely.
In social settings, you know, people like tend to like sink when they don't feel good about themselves, you know. So I want to help people reclaim that and just feel better about themselves.
And how can they reach you?
LiveInspireTransform.com. All my information is there. LiveInspireTransform on all platforms, including Instagram, Facebook. You can follow me. I like to put content. And, you know, just follow me if you want to get in touch with me. LiveInspireTransform.com.
And as far as the keto people out there.
Hey, if it works for you, great. If it doesn't, it's not the end of the world.
So what's good for the goose is not good for the gander.
Not always. There it is.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
Jason Otley. Make sure to check him out, folks. But really, give it a try. I guarantee you, you will not be disappointed. And if you are, let me know. Let me know. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you for having me.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Let me go to Robert, a first-time caller out of... Jason, you may want to just... You have time to hear this call? Robert... From Ontario, Canada. Robert, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hello, Jesse.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing okay, but, yeah, you know, just getting by. How about yourself?
All is well. What do you mean, just getting by?
Huh?
When you say you're...
You know, just dealing with, I guess, you know, the world's problem.
Oh, I see.
Throws at you, right?
Okay. All right, go ahead.
But my question is, you know how you keep saying, telling people to like stop smoking pot and how it's bad, right?
Get off the pot!
Well, because in the Bible, you know how it says God gave us every seed-bearing fruit, yeah?
Right.
So, like, like cannabis, has, it comes from a seed, right? And it bears fruit. So I don't get how it's bad, because I've seen it heal people with serious ailments, and, you know, the government's pharmaceuticals never did anything for the people, right? Like, for example, with this cancer ordeal, like, there's people within Canada here that cured their own cancer from making oil from this cannabis plant. But you keep saying that it's bad, right?
What's the difference?
I just wanted to know, how is this cannabis bad, and why should we stop smoking it and using it if God said he gave it to us, right?
But God didn't give you pot.
Well, he gave us every plant that bears fruit, right?
Well, not pot.
Fruit, and this fruit.
Jason, what do you say about cannabis and pot?
Well, I did work in the cancer industry for a while, and there has been a lot, like, you know, they do use it in some capacity to help, you know, with some of the patients.
It just makes you high, so you don't feel the pain.
But it's not all about just smoking it, you know. Like, you could use it in other aspects. I think people think that it's just to get high and that's it. There's so much more around.
Yeah, that's a recreational
like
way of doing things to get high. But I'm saying with the medical factor of it.
Yeah,
right?
and I agree with you on that.
I don't believe there is a medical factor to that. I think they just say that.
Look up Rick Simpson in Canada. He healed his own cancer because the doctors were telling him to stop using it.
How do you know he healed his own cancer? Just because he said it?
No, because he went to jail for growing cannabis, and then there's a big thing about it. Now it's legalized and all this other stuff in Canada, right, for people to access it if they need it because of this one gentleman. And, well, not just this one gentleman, but there's several other people with serious ailments that are being healed by this plant.
So you believe all this crap about pot and cannabis? And they just name it and they put it in oil and they say Jesus sent it. And so the people take it.
But there's also cannabis that are not, like, that doesn't get you high, though.
What is cannabis?
Cannabis is the thing that you call pot.
Come back to the phone. So cannabis is pot. It just has a new name, right?
Well, it's originally cannabis, but the pot is, I guess, the slang term, right?
But cannabis is the same thing as pot.
Yes, it is.
They just gave it a new name.
I mean, cannabis, no, it was originally called cannabis, and, like, the lingo around term, like, it's pot, exactly. Same thing. Exactly.
Yeah, so it's still pot. It just has a different name.
The pot came from, that word pot comes from, like, Mexicans, where they use, like, marijuana and stuff like that.
I know, but it's just still a pot. It's just called cannabis pot. And so all it does is get you high and make you think that you're feeling well. Yeah. And they say, oh, this will get you well. And so if you're a pot smoker, you say, oh, okay, I'll do it. It's called cannabis. But you're still just getting high. Yeah. And my problem with getting high is that it causes you to go unconscious. And when you go unconscious, you're not dealing with life well. You don't see reality. You don't know how to deal with life. You want to always have a pure consciousness rather than a deflated conscious.
But where did you get this answer from?
Where did I get what answer
did
from?
Did you experience it?
What? I used to smoke pot.
There's a difference. If you sit there and smoke pot and do nothing, right?
Right.
And obviously it's going to make you dumb. But see, because, like, I smoke it, but it helps me concentrate when I read all my law books and all these other books in regards with history and stuff, right?
Right, but you would concentrate better if you overcame your conflict, your inner conflict. Then you could sit and read your law book; it would be no problem. Tell him, Jason, you from Canada?
What part of Ontario?
This is Jason from Canada.
Or Toronto?
Canada,
or no?
but what part?
Yeah,
in Durham area.
Okay,
you ever been there?
No, I got family in Brantford and all that, but that's a little north.
Yeah, that's close to here.
Got you.
And so so you recommend this man smoke cannabis or not, which is pot?
I just feel like people who are going to have one opinion about that whole industry, and they're going to think it's just for people who want to get high and excuses, and it's nothing, it's just all bad. And I don't believe that. There are medical benefits around pot. Because there's CBD. CBDs do not get you high whatsoever. It has no psychoactive.
What's CBD?
It's a It's another area within
another pot.
Yeah, but it doesn't get you high. So you can't, like, what you're saying doesn't apply to that. There's no unconsciousness to what you're talking about.
Oh, so, somebody sent me from Canada.
Yeah,
they have a cannabis farm or whatever, right?
Yep, I remember.
And they sent me some CBD honey.
Yeah,
and so I used it on a test rat, and the rat got high.
A test rat. Where'd you pull that out
from? Then there's
and the rat got high off the honey, and now the rat loved the honey.
And that was it. That was a good one.
No, but Jesse, what I'm saying, though, is that I've actually, like, we'll say, worked with people that have, like, cancer and all these other medical ailments that are serious. And, you know, there's a couple of them that listen to what the doctor said when to tell them to stop using the cannabis and just use the pharmaceuticals. And they died 2 weeks later because they stopped using cannabis.
But cannabis doesn't heal you, right?
It's just the devil. That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't heal you. It just makes you feel better with the pain, right? Is that right, Jason?
No. I'm not talking about, like, having pain. I'm talking about, like, having cancer or some sort of illness.
I don't know, man. I would recommend
there are different compounds within the cannabis plant. It's not just THC. THC is the most psychoactive ingredient within that cannabis plant, but there are other, you know, cannabinoids that are in there that do not get you, as you're saying, high, right?
But why are you smoking it? But you're smoking cannabis to focus. Right, but that's not the way you calm down. That's not a natural way of calming down, because once you use that to calm down, you have to keep using it, and after a while, you become an addict to it.
Yeah. So Can you tell me which, like, where in the Bible I can find where it says that, like, the certain plants that God didn't give us?
That, because, come back to you. Robert, you sound muffled. Come back to your phone. You high. Come back to your phone.
Yes, I'm flying high. I'm trying to come back down, man.
So, what do you say now? What's your question?
No, I'm just saying, like, where in the Bible does it say which plants not to use and which ones aren't? Because there are certain people will say, like, when Jesus talks about, like, putting the oil on your head and, like, washing your feet and stuff when you're going to pray and stuff. Some people talk that it's the cannabis oil.
But
olive oil.
Are you a Christian?
Like the Hebrewic writing or something.
Are you a Christian? You know what I mean? Are you a Christian?
I like to think I am, but, you know, like, I can tell you I do fall short of Christ's expectations, to say.
Are you a Christian?
Yeah.
Well, you don't need no pot. If you believe in God, you should already be at peace within. You don't need pot.
Yeah, it's kind of hard when you got a dictator government that oppresses all the European Canadians, right?
But if you believe in God, they can't oppress you. But Robert,
well, tell God to make the people confederate in Canada, because that's another fallacy that people think that Canada confederated, but yet lack the understanding and reading of the documentation.
Well, let me just tell you this, and I got to run. Stop smoking pot, and then you'll be able to confederate.
No. This is Canada. Everybody should go to that website.
All right. Thank you, Robert.
Confederate. Have a good day.
All right, buddy. Chris from Costa Rica. Chris, thank you for calling. You're on the air. Chris has a question.
Thank you, Jesse. Hello, Jesse. And your guest, Jason.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I studied nutrition in college. That's what I wasted my time in college doing. It's a complete waste of time. And Jason, what you're talking about defies logic and reasoning and actual practical evidence that we can see.
Okay.
Look at any picture from the 70s or maybe early 80s down. You don't find heavy people, and you just find thin and fit people.
Okay.
And now we have this overabundance of nutrition, trainers, gyms, and whatnot, and we have a country filled with obese people. So that's not the solution at all.
That makes no sense, Chris. Hold up. Let me stop you right there. Because there's an abundance of trainers, that equates to why there's more obese people today? Is that what you're bringing to me right now?
No, it's not. No, that's just one. That's one of the factors.
But there's no correlation in that. There's no correlation in how many trainers there are versus how many. Don't you think about, like, the food that is presented to people in this day and age, how easy it is to get fast food, how unhealthy food is a lot cheaper?
No, I'm
it's probably
get to
more.
That.
But just the way you started off the conversation, I'm going to have to dismiss a lot of it. So you can restart. But you're saying that trainers, the abundance of trainers, why there are so many overweight people.
I'll explain it to you why.
Okay, go ahead. Try it again.
You kind of sound like it doesn't like the beginning of a thing and then just closes their mind and stops listening.
No, I'll let you give another chance
at it. I'm explaining to you the evidence. The evidence is this. In the 70s, early 80s, and downward, there were no such thing as trainers, no such thing as nutrition. We paid no attention to it. There were no gyms. Now, we have an overabundance of all of that.
Okay.
So it's not a personal attack toward you. I'm talking about the entire industry.
Okay.
All of this exists, and we have an overabundance of obese people.
Okay.
What I'm talking about, the issue is not that. That is not the issue. The issue is processed sugar, period.
Okay.
That's all it is. You talked about something which is kind of correct, but it doesn't take into account the types of calories, because trainers and most people try to lump all calories into the same category, and it's not like that at all.
How do you know what most trainers do, Chris? How do you know what most trainers do?
Because I heard you say it.
I didn't lump all calories. Tell me what I said.
Okay, you said that what you need to have is a deficiency of calories. That was it.
So you need to create a caloric deficit for yourself. Yes. Go talk to, and don't take my advice. Throw what I said out the window. Hold on. Let me just finish. Remove what I said from the equation. Go do your own research about what is the most effective way to get to a weight loss. All right. And if you research really thoroughly, you will find out for yourself, not my opinion, that you need to create a caloric deficit for yourself. It's all about energy balance. Don't take my word for it. I don't know anything. Do your own research. Then you'll find out the answer for it.
I know you don't, because that's what I studied in college. And I've thrown most of it away because it's mostly garbage.
Okay.
The most important thing is to stay away from processed sugars. That is it. You stay away from processed sugars and you'll be fine, because they didn't exist during that time.
Okay.
And so there's an overabundance in it. You find it in ragu sauce. You find it in bread. You find it in things that don't have there's no reasoning behind it, except because it makes it
Chris,
sweeter.
If someone came to you today, right? Someone came to you today and said, hey, man, I'm 60 pounds overweight. So your advice to them would be stay away from sugar and a pat on the back?
And a pat on the back. Well, if they asked me, then you're saying if they told me that, I'd say, all right. But if they asked for my advice, it's a different story. I don't give out advice like that, because nobody listens to it. Nobody can care less. I had one friend that actually did what I suggested to him, and he lost 60 pounds in a matter of three.
But think about it. If it was so easy to lose weight by just staying away from processed sugar, don't you think people would lose weight a lot easier? Because if it was just one fix, hey, guys, if you want to lose weight, just stay away from sugar.
Yes.
I think what you're not understanding is that it's more complex than that. It's not an easy fix. It's not as easy as that. So staying away from processed sugar is definitely effective.
In a very simple way.
Yeah, but it's more than that.
Chris, let me ask this, Chris. If most people today lack self-control, so if people didn't lack self-control, would we need the gyms and the trainers? Aren't the trainers and the gyms meeting the needs of the people because they lack self-control?
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right on that, Jesse. And also, it's an ego boost to tell other people, oh, I have a trainer, I'm on a diet and all this, because it sounds like something that's so, it has such a great connotation to it.
What
like
you say?
Look, I'm doing something for myself. That's why people always talk about, I'm going to start going to the gym. I have a friend that's grossly overweight. And she's always saying that. I told her from the beginning, don't tell me that. Tell me 3 months into you being in the
industry. And I agree with that. And I do agree. Like, I don't like that part of the industry. There's a lot about this industry that I don't like, Chris. So I don't want to get, like what you're saying, I don't like that aspect where people have a trainer for the social aspect of it. I don't like that. And I agree with that. I don't like that part of it.
The industry is necessary. But the whole industry is not necessary, and I know you're going to disagree with it because you're part of it. And I understand that. That's fine. I have no issue with that at all.
It's your opinion, so I don't have to disagree with it. It's your opinion, so I respect your opinion. It doesn't affect me in one way. It's just you're not the first person that thinks it's unnecessary. But then I look at the people who have helped lose weight and feel better about themselves and really made an impact in their life, and that's all the gratification and that I need.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jesse, man. Appreciate it, man. God bless.
God bless you. Amazing.
Yes, sir.
And so are there other people who feel that way?
Of course. It's always, I mean, as a trainer or in the fitness professional, the industry has been smeared a little bit by, you know, some bad trainers, and there's a lot of good trainers. That's with any industry.
Like, sure, I was just thinking, it's
teachers,
like that with preachers.
Cops, there's like
preachers.
To have one or two experiencers or three, there's hundreds of thousands, if not millions of trainers are around the world, you know, and there's a lot of good ones that are help people in so many ways. But I understand what, you know, what people's experience are with them, and that's going to kind of dictate what they feel about it.
Right.
But people know better than that, you know. Like, if you had a trainer that helped you, you're going to feel different. If you had a trainer that just took your money and didn't help you, you're going to feel a certain way about that. So everyone is different, as with any profession out there, for the most part. You take a bad landscape artist that messed up your lawn, you're going to be like, oh, all landscape artists, blah, 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 you know?
But yeah,
it's personal.
I noticed that I would hire Mexicans to do my lawn, and then after a while, they halfway do it, or they don't show up every week. And now I think all Mexicans are like that.
That's not true, though, right?
No, but that's what I think.
Well, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. And I face some of that, but I encourage the convo. I love to talk about this, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So thanks for that call, Chris.
James, Stafford caller from Illinois. You're on with Jason.
How are you doing today, Jesse?
All is well. How are you?
I'm very well, sir. Thank you for taking my call today.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to call and completely validate what your trainer there is saying. I was in the when I was in the Navy, I got injured, and I was still on the metabolism and still had the, you know, mentality of eating three full meals a day and everything. And I was because I was injured, I couldn't really do much. You know, so I started gaining all kinds of weight. My whole life, I had never been much over like 150, 155 pounds, and I got up to 212 pounds. Mm-hmm. And what I decided to do was, you know, just like your trainer there was saying, with the calories, you got to create a calorie deficit. That's absolutely correct. I decided, you know, one day I went down to tie my shoes, and I had to breathe out to tie my shoes, you know, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't let this keep going, you know.
Yeah.
So I decided to take my calorie intake down to 1,000 calories a day. And the way I figured it was, okay, there's people all over the world that survive on a lot less than this, and they're still alive. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to starve to death. So I took my calorie intake down to 1,000 calories a day, and what I discovered was it doesn't matter what you eat. It doesn't matter if you don't do any exercise or anything. Just do your normal active daily routine. And as long as you're taking in less energy than you are using, you will lose the weight. In about 3 or 4 months, I got down to 160 pounds from 212.
Like, that's a huge part of it, and thank you for, you know, for your call. But I mean, how long were you on that 1,000? That's extremely low, which I don't think anything's wrong with. I'm just curious to know how long were you intaking 1,000 before you kind of ramped it back up a little bit.
I started taking my calorie intake down to about 1,000 calories for the first 2 weeks. It felt like I was starving to death because my metabolism was going through that reset.
Yep.
You know, and you know, like I said, for the first 2-3 weeks, it felt like I was starving real bad. But then all of a sudden, all that starving feeling went away. Mm-hmm. All that hunger went away. I'd have a full plate of food in front of me, and I'd only be able to eat just a few bites of it. I'm like, oh, man, I'm feeling full. But I felt like I was really energetic. And the weight was just, I mean, daily shedding off. I was weighing myself every other day. I was losing, you know, a pound or two every other day, it seemed like. And finally, after about 4 months or so, like I said, I got down to about 160 pounds.
from 212.
That's awesome, man.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I amazingly enough, you know, my metabolism has balanced out. It's maintained basically the same. I've maintained about 165 pounds. You know, my wife recently got pregnant, so I've added a few pounds, you know.
Yeah, that would do it.
And stuff. But, yeah, we just found out she's 18 weeks pregnant with a boy.
Congrats.
You know, so right. We're very excited about that.
That's cool. Real men make boys first.
Yeah, well, you know, my cycle hasn't... this is my fifth child, and my cycle is boy, girl, and now it's a boy.
So. Right on.
Pretty consistent, man.
That's right. Well, I appreciate your call.
Making lots of babies.
That's right. Lots of white babies. Thank you, James. Congratulations on the baby coming, man.
Thank you very much. And you gentlemen have a great day.
You too.
Thanks. And I listen to you every day, Jesse. Thank you very much for saying what you say. And I appreciate it, man.
You're welcome, James. Thank you. Amazing. Bye now. So Joel want to know, what is calorie deficit?
It's kind of what he said, where you're, you know, taking in less calories than you're putting out. And you don't have to sit there and count calories. Some people will weigh food and be really super, like, methodical with it.
Yeah.
But sometimes, like, I just tell people to write down what you're eating. And sometimes when you write it down on paper, you'll start realizing, hey, dang, I'm eating a lot more than I thought I did. I'm talking about every single bite that you put in your mouth. You don't have to do it for, like, 3 months, but it's just to have some kind of awareness.
Right.
It's like taking an audit, you know, like a dietary audit of yourself. Like, okay, what's going in? Like, kind of like you do with your bank account. What's going in? What's coming out? I need to have an idea of what my spending habits are. You need to do that for your nutrition just to get a picture of what's going on. It's hard for you to really make progress if you don't know exactly what's going on.
So last night, I didn't feel like going out for a meal.
Yeah.
So I had delivered, mm-hmm. and it was this big bowl of Mexican chip thing mm-hmm. with ground beef,
yeah.
Green peppers, nachos. That's what mm-hmm.
it was. There you go.
And sour cream and all that good stuff. Is that a calorie deficit?
a meal is not a calorie deficit. It's really the bigger picture.
Oh, okay.
So did you work out that day?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you work out hard?
Oh, yesterday. Yesterday was Tuesday.
Yeah, you
no, I work out Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
And you probably weren't in a calorie deficit yesterday.
Well, I do the deficit today.
Okay, do it today.
Stephanie is out of Illinois. Stephanie, you're on with Jason.
Hi, Jason. Hi, Jesse.
Hi.
I love your show.
Thank you.
First time caller. I just wanted to ask, what are your thoughts on intermittent fasting? It's kind of popular right now. Is it a good idea for weight loss, and is it healthy?
Like I said, I'm not all in on any one thing. I think they all have good things. But with that, that is probably one of my more, like, favorite ones, the intermittent fasting, because I think it sets you up well to be in a caloric deficit. If you shorten the window on which you allow yourself to eat, you're kind of already going to take in less calories, right? Let's say you don't care what time you eat. You'll eat at night, you eat in the morning, like, and that's how you overeat. But if you just shorten that window, you're already, like, setting yourself up, you know, to be in a caloric deficit. If weight loss was your goal, but there's other benefits within intermittent fasting besides weight loss. But I like that a lot. I feel like it's safe, it's healthy. Do your research more on it to see what kind of window of time you want to create. Like a lot of people go with a 16-hour, 8-hour kind of window. You can eat for 8 hours and you're fasting for 16. You know, you can set it up different kind of ways, but I would do my research on how to start, but I do like the IF.
Are you doing that now, Stephanie?
I'm thinking about it.
But you haven't started yet.
Not yet. But so you would say the 16-hour would be a kind of a good thing, or 8 to 16, something like that?
Well, you have to look at yourself. Like, do you get hungry rather quickly, or do you snack throughout the day? Or sometimes you're already kind of set up. Like, I would have to look deeper into your eating habits or what times you eat. But you could start with something a little bit more lenient, like maybe 12 and 12. You know, like you could, you know, 12 hours of eating, 12 hours of fasting to start with, then you can shorten that window as you go forward. That's where you're not, like, you know, starting off with something so strict.
Okay, cool. So start with 12 and 12 and see how that goes and just go from there?
Yep. That's a good place to start. Yeah, I would start with that.
Okay, cool. Thank you guys so much.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. Appreciate you.
Thank you, bud.
All right. So intermittent dieting, meaning that you eat.
You just have a
window.
So
like if I eat breakfast after the show at 9 a.m., I don't eat anymore until when?
It's just setting up a window of time for you to eat, and you're fasting throughout the day.
So I can eat at 9 and don't eat anymore until.
It all depends how you set up the window. Let's say you're going to do 8 hours, but your first meal is going to start at, let's say, 8 o'clock, 8 a.m. You know, 8 hours from there is till 4 p.m. So after 4 p.m., you're done eating. That's pretty much the overview of that.
Well, someone need to talk to Joel and James. They're always eating.
Well, they're not doing the IF then.
They're doing the.
Doesn't mean that they're doing it wrong.
They're doing the, how much can I eat? How often? Yeah, because you eat breakfast every morning, right?
Right, but shoot, it's working.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to do IF, but I just feel like it's not a bad way to go.
Amazing, Jason. So tell the folks how to get you.
LiveInspireTransform.com. Do your own research. Don't take my word for it. Research anything you think you want to know, and then you can present it to me, and we can talk more about it.
LiveInspireTransform.com.
.com.
And Jason worked with people around the world.
Yes.
All people, so... Don't hesitate, all right? You won't regret it. Thank you, man. We held you over today. I apologize.
No, I actually worked out perfectly.
Oh, okay.
So no worries. I loved it. I like taking calls from people and all right. That. It was really fun.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. 2 more hours to go, folks. Top of the hour news. James coming in. Back in a moment.
All right. Spiritual figure, I help you with the test. You got a great enemy. I don't mean great and good. I mean great in stature.